In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Naturally, we have questions about the Lord's Supper, because Jesus is God and we are human, and our minds have trouble understanding the divine. It would be too hard not to ask questions about the Lord's Supper, because it just seems too good to be true. Or it's just too incomprehensible for our limited perspective to understand. Because with our tools, there's no amount of biochemistry that could dissect and answer this question that we discuss tonight. What is the sacrament of the altar? I mean, is Christ's body and blood really in there? If I cut open the bread, will blood come out of it? Surely Jesus means something else, right? In John chapter 6, there's an exchange between Jesus and the unbelievers that shows the natural questioning that limited human understanding has about Jesus' words. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." What a statement. Jesus gives his flesh to eat. The response of the unbelieving crowd is relatable, because it's a question that many Christians ask themselves still today. How can this man give his flesh to eat? The question of how then becomes the great linchpin and enemy of Christ's own words. Thus begins the slippery slope of doubting the clear words of Jesus. These words were never doubted in the Christian church until the Reformation, when groups splintered out of the Reformation and questioned Jesus' words of institution in the Lord's Supper. They asked that question, how? Nevertheless, correcting Jesus' words or making them more clear and palatable had become commonplace in many Protestant churches since the Reformation. Now, this sermon series is not meant to disgrace the faith of many good-natured, well-intentioned Christians concerning this question that we examine tonight. However, false teaching must be addressed so as to clarify what to believe. But the point of our meditation tonight would rather lead you to believe and trust in Christ's own words about what is in this meal. And it leads us to know and understand why this meal is the lifeblood of Christ's holy church, and why our church life together revolves around it. I had a seminary professor who hit the nail on the head when asking and discussing questions about the Lord's Supper. He said, "All our questions about what our Lord instituted must be answered by his own words." That is to say, we must go to the words of institution used by Jesus to know what's happening. If we go outside of Christ's own words to find an answer, then we're straying away from the words that come from God's own lips. Doing such is the same thing that those folks back in John chapter 6 did. How can this man give us his body to eat? How can this man give us his blood to drink? But of course, this is Satan's tactic in tempting Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where he said, did God really say that? Did God really say that it's his body and his blood? Because Satan's goal is to get us to doubt God's clear word. So, what is the sacrament of the altar? It is Christ's true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. This is to say, there's no metaphors happening here. The bread does not represent Christ's body. The wine is not symbolic of Christ's blood. That's not what God's word says. So where is this written? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul write, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take this bread, eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. All our questions about the Lord's Supper must be answered by these words. Then, and only then, can we see how the rest of Scripture points us to this moment where Christ gives his body and blood. So first, let's discuss the context of Christ's own words. This meal is the last thing that Jesus gives to his disciples before he dies. In that way, this is Jesus' last will and testament he's leaving for them. Jesus is leaving them with something upon his death. Now, when we do that, we call that a will. And have you ever read a will of a loved one, or have you written one yourself? How is it written? It's clear, precise. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no metaphors or understandings that you need to bring to the table to make it clear. It's given with precision and attention to detail that we wouldn't be left with mystery. So when Jesus says, this is my body, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, he's not trying to be poetic or more metaphorical. He wants us to know the nature of what is given here isn't just merely bread and wine, but that it's actually his true body and his true blood. Now, a common question is this. How can Jesus hold up bread and say, this is my body, when clearly his body is something different and separated from the very bread he holds? Or how can he say, this is my blood, when clearly his blood is inside of his body and not in that cup? As I tell my confirmation kids, what Jesus says goes. If I live by faith and not by reason, I have no reason to doubt Jesus' clear words, though my reason failed to comprehend it. I mean, His track record shows that my reason should submit to his word and his work. When he was involved in the creation of the world, he, as God's word, created reality. Real things out of thin air with his words. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. "Let there be fish of the sea," and there were fish of the sea. And in Jesus' earthly ministry, he said, "Lazarus, come out of your grave." And the once dead man Lazarus resurrected from the dead and came out. Jesus healed people on earth with just a word. "Be healed," he would say. And they were healed. So, if Jesus' words create what he says, why should I doubt him when he says, "This is my body, this is my blood"? Where there was never one instance where something Jesus said didn't happen. The proof is in the pudding. Whatever Jesus says goes. So in this bread and wine, we receive his true body and true blood. This notion that Jesus, the Passover lamb, sacrificed on behalf of the whole world, would give his real body and blood is supported by and laid out in Scripture. Throughout the whole story of the Bible, the blueprints are there for how a holy God comes to an unholy people. In our reading from Exodus tonight indicates that the blood of the covenant is a real blood. It's not metaphorical. The real blood of oxen was really thrown on the people gathered there for the atonement sacrifice. It was real. It stunk. It was gross. But this real blood covered the people and cleansed their sins. It reminded them that they had something, that something had to die for them, that they may live. And now that they've been cleansed by this real bloody sacrifice, they can now live in obedience to God, who has accepted the sacrifice that was given in their place, that they now wear on themselves. So that was the blood of the old covenant. And in the words of Jesus' own institution, he sets up a new covenant in his blood. The new covenant isn't bloodless. The blood he gives is of himself. The sacrificial lamb who goes to the altar of the cross and gives his life up for the people. Now, if this blood remained just on the cross, then there's no casting of the blood upon his people. But just as the real blood was truly cast upon the people in the tabernacle to cover their sins, so is Jesus' real blood that was shed on the cross as the once and for all sacrifice for sins now cast upon you and covers you as you participate in the sacrament of the altar. For as Paul says, "The cup we bless, is this not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ?" Without real blood, there's no real forgiveness. But since Christ gives his body to eat as the Passover lamb, and gives his blood to drink as the atonement sacrifice that satisfies God's wrath, we do have real forgiveness. Now we must make a few final distinctions. Jesus isn't merely here in the sacrament spiritually. Folks who say as such seek to divide the two natures of Christ. They try to divide the human and the divine natures, as if they imagine that whenever Jesus ascended into heaven, that he somehow shed his flesh off of his body and entered into heaven just as a spirit. But no, Jesus didn't do such a thing. He ascended into heaven with his bodily human nature. He's not given us a reason to think that he no longer has this human nature. Scripture actually speaks the opposite way on multiple occasions. And so we believe, teach, and confess that he still has human and divine natures even in heaven. And that in this meal, he's here with us not only according to a divine, spiritual, and material way, but he's present also in a real, human, bodily, substantive way. Second, Lutherans believe in the doctrine of the real presence, with the understanding that the presence of Christ in the sacrament is bodily. We don't believe in a doctrine called consubstantiation. Now, this term was coined by an Anglican to describe his beliefs, which is similar to, but not quite, what Lutherans believe. This term is incorrectly used by others to describe a Lutheran understanding of the sacrament. But this belief says that the bread mixes with the body of Christ and the blood mixes with the wine. A sort of 50% bread and 50% type of proposition. But this is an incorrect understanding as well. Rather, we believe that the sacrament is 100% bread and 100% body. 100% wine and 100% blood. Just as we believe that Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. How is this mathematically possible? Who knows? And to be quite frank, who cares? Because we rest solely on the words of Christ, who says this. This, referring to a piece of bread, is my body. This, referring to the cup of wine, is my blood. To insert our reason or strength to comprehend is to cast doubt on the clear words of Christ. Because this, of course, is incomprehensible. Yet faith always trusts in the words of Christ. Because all our questions must be answered by our Lord and his words, who comes to give in us a miraculous way in this meal to forgive our sins and grant us life eternal through his blood. Jesus said it himself. My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks on my blood abides in me and I in him. The Eucharist is the body and blood of Jesus, given under bread and wine for us Christians to eat and to drink. And as we'll hear next week, its benefits are salvific. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.